We'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes, and we invite you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to John chapter 14. We're going to be looking at verse 27. And before we do that, we'd like to begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us as you promised, that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in their midst. And the Holy Spirit has brought us together in various ways, and this morning even in different places. And we pray that you be with us as you promised, and open our hearts, make them receptive to the word which you've given us. We pray this in your name. Amen. The banquet hall in the king's palace was packed, and the people were waiting in eager anticipation. There were three large canvases in the front, or at least there were supposed to have been. But this time there were four. And this whole meeting had been called together by a king. There's an ancient legend that tells about this. There was a kingdom that had three very famous artists in it. And each one of these artists had his own particular following. And one day the king decided that he was going to have a contest and decide once for all who was the greatest of the three. So he called the three artists to him and commissioned them to each paint a picture of what he considered to be perfect peace. And now everybody was gathered together for the unveiling of the pictures. The three artists stood in the front, by each one by his own picture. But there was a fourth picture there. Who was the fourth artist? At the king's command, the first artist unveiled his picture. His concept of perfect peace was a sunset over a lake. He had pictured a lake that was perfectly calm. The water was just like a piece of glass. And beyond the distant hills, the sun was setting and reflecting over the water. It was a beautiful, beautiful picture. And everybody applauded it. The second artist unveiled his picture, and he showed a king in his palace, surrounded by wealth. Everything was gold, and there were precious stones, and the king was dressed in his royal robes. It was really a thing of beauty, and the people applauded that picture. The third artist unveiled his picture, and he showed a man sitting at a supper table with his family. And the table was filled with sumptuous food. It was just a very quiet and peaceful setting. Everybody applauded that picture. But there was no fourth artist there. So the king himself went up and took the veil off that picture. And then there was a gasp and everybody fell silent. The fourth artist had pictured a large rock over to the left of the picture, reaching almost to the top of the canvas. And at the very top of the canvas, from the left over all the way across to the right, there was a tremendous storm that was kicking in. Dark storm clouds were brewing. Lightning was flashing from the top of the canvas down to the bottom. The rain was pelting down. The winds and gale force were crashing waves against the shore. And then they noticed it. Tucked away in a little crevice of the rock was a little sparrow sleeping. Peace in the midst of turmoil. That's the peace that really counts. The picture kind of reminded of it, but was brought to mind by the text that we've got today where the Lord Jesus is talking about peace. In verse 27, he says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It strikes us odd that the Son of God would be talking about peace here in this setting. Because the setting was anything but peaceful. This was a war zone. The devil was marshaling his forces. He's throwing every punch that he's got. He's doing the worst that he possibly can do. At this very moment, Judas has gone out into the darkness of night and is gathering a powerful army. Now, some people believe that it numbered at least 500 from the words that are used in the text later on. A Roman battalion, heavily armed to the teeth, ready to put down any insurrection by the people as they're going out to take captive Jesus of Nazareth. It's all done under cover of the darkness of night. And within a few minutes, this is all going to unfold. And the Lord Jesus knows this. He's going to go out into the darkness of Gethsemane to pray. And then very shortly, Judas will come out with a very, very heavily armed crowd of soldiers to take him captive. And he'll be bound, brought before a Jewish court, and then a Roman court, and then crucified, dead, and buried. Fulfillment of the ancient passage back in Genesis, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall crush thy head, he said to the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, this is the bruising of the heel. The devil is marshaling all his forces. He's going to throw everything that he has. And Jesus Christ is thinking of you and me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It looks like a double peace here, doesn't it? A peace that is left and a peace that is given. I believe we could call the peace that is left a judicial peace. What do we mean by that? When the Lord Jesus has finished his work on the cross and he rises from the dead and ascends up into heaven, he leaves us a peace. What kind of peace is it? It is a peace described in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the very Savior who said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, has also told us, in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have a rough go of it in this world. You're going to be hated by all men for my name's sake. You're going to be persecuted. But I'm going to leave you peace. What kind of peace? Well, the only peace that really matters. Not peace between you and some other person, or between you and other people, but peace between you and God. What else makes any difference? How did Jesus do that? Colossians tells us in chapter 1, verse 20. I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You know, when you and I were conceived and born into the world, we were in a state of war. War against the Almighty God, whose commandments we had broken. And we were loving the darkness and hating the light. Jesus came to restore peace. But it wasn't an easy thing to do. God is a righteous God and God is light. And he's not just going to pretend that these sins never happened. There's got to be an answer for it. There's got to be a payment. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what God said. God's word is truth, and it's not going to change. The dilemma was solved by the Almighty God when He sent His Son into the world as a human being. And the Lord Jesus came into the world in a very unique way. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. We didn't have the original sin that you and I inherited from Adam. He was born sinless. And conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. A true man in every single way. Grew up just like you and I did. Had to learn things. And yet at the same time, true God. And now He was about to perform His sacrifice in our place. Substitution, that's what it is. The Heavenly Father putting His Son on the cross and punishing Him for all the sins of the world so that His righteousness becomes ours and our sin became His. That's what this is all about. Blood of the cross. My peace I give unto you. What kind of peace is that? Well, this is the peace that the Holy Spirit brings into your heart and mine. Kind of an application of this other peace. It's the kind of peace that's described in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. This is as close as you can come. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I can't understand this peace. I've experienced it. You have too. You can be in the middle of turmoil, like that sparrow in the middle of the storm. And things can be exploding all around you. And yet the Holy Spirit gives you a peace in your heart. And it stems from the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and it's a peace that knows that the storm, no matter how bad it may be, is held in the hand of your Father. And it's for your good. And there are blessings in it. You're being blessed. So even though you're in the middle of turmoil, you have that heart peace. Don't look for this peace in the heart of any child of the devil. Because it's not there. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You know, the devil gives his children a certain sort of peace too. The kind of peace, I suppose, that could be summarized in the first three pictures that we mentioned this morning. And some people find a great deal of peace out in nature and very peaceful scenes out there. It can never last. The world finds it's going to be burned up at the end. Or some people find their peace in a great deal of wealth that they've accumulated, like the king sitting in his castle surrounded by all of his gold and silver and precious stone. But the thieves break through and steal those away. There's no lasting peace there. Or even in a family situation. People grow old and die and the family's disbanded. There's no real peace there either. The only real peace is to be found in Jesus Christ. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it started at Christmas. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. That's the good news here. Now, the peace which the devil has is kind of summed up in Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. God says this, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." They think they've got peace, they think they've got safety, and all of a sudden when they least expect it, it's all taken away. Well, it can happen in a lot of different ways. Maybe a sudden heart attack, maybe an automobile accident, a number of ways. And then they stand before the judgment throne of God to be judged in their sin. You know, the preacher back in Ecclesiastes had this figured out. The wise man Solomon. Solomon was given wealth by God and he was given wisdom, the likes of which no one has had since or even before, except only the Son of God. And Solomon lived for a while, and for a period of his life, he lived for the world. And he used his wisdom to glean as much from the world as he could. He did it all. Everything that you and I have wanted to do, maybe, and more, he did it. And you know how it all ended up? He starts his book this way. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, said the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? And the whole rest of the book follows that theme, man without God. And it all ends up as vanity. It's nothing. That's the kind of peace that the devil gives his people. It doesn't last. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I don't know how many times in Scripture God has told us, fear not. Don't be afraid. In some of the most dangerous situations. But our God is not a God of fear. He doesn't want you and I living in a world wondering what's going to happen next. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And the future is held in the hand of the Almighty God, the Father, who loves us and promises that every single thing that happens, He works together for your good. You can always trace it back to the hand of the Father. And this takes the fear out of your hearts. Let's look at a few passages. Isaiah 26. Verse 3. This is a beautiful passage. Now I'm going to read verse 3 and verse 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Are there storms in your life? Well, sure there are. God sends them into your life. But you've got Isaiah 25, verse 4. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible here. Printed this out from the Amplified. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm. Like the sparrow, hidden in that little cleft in the rock, and the storm breaking around him. But he's sleeping in peace because he's got shelter there. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, the Lord said? And not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. For ye are of more value than many sparrows. And if God protects the sparrow, He's going to protect you. He's not going to forget about His child. Psalm 71, verse 3, be to me a rock of refuge in which to dwell, and a sheltering stronghold to which I may continually resort, which you have appointed to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Or Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. So there were four pictures there. The first three had some beauty too, but it didn't last. The fourth one was the one that pleased the king. True peace, he said, is found not when outward circumstances are all favorable. Anybody could have peace then. But real peace is found in the middle of the storm. First prize goes to the sparrow. And the truth of the picture is this. There is no such thing as bad weather in the life of a child of God. There are only different kinds of good weather. And we'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have taken our place on the cross and paid the price for our sins to bring us peace again with between us and our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the comfort of knowing that all power has been given to you in heaven and on earth. We thank you for revealing to us a loving Father who controls every single thing in the whole world and every single thing in our own life, and promises to give us blessings in everything that He sends us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who brings this comfort into our hearts that we never need to be afraid. Pray this in your name.